We're going to carry on today from where we stopped the last time. And at the moment, we're looking at purpose. Purpose. So just to give us, this is the second part, just to give us a recap from last week. We looked at a number of things around purpose. We looked at the definition of purpose. And I, Googled an online dictionary before I came last week, and it defines the definition I got for purpose was the reason for something, sorry, the reason for which something is done or created, or the reason for which something exists. So we looked at purpose and we said it's the reason for which something exists. And I think I gave an analogy of a steering wheel of a car. And I said it would be really odd if you had a steering wheel and someone just created it and they hung it on a rack, and what they did was to just admire the steering wheel. I was like, oh, this is like a really nice steering wheel. However, that steering wheel will not be fulfilling its purpose because it's actually meant to go in a car. So we said purpose is the reason for which something was created. We also looked at the fact that fulfilling your purpose is what really brings us fulfillment, or walking in God's purpose is really what gives us fulfillment. So we looked at that as well. The other thing we looked at was the fact that from God's perspective, purpose falls into two categories. There is the spiritual purpose that we have from God, and there is the everyday normal life purpose that we have. And the point I made was that for everyone that is born on earth, they have the physical everyday purpose before them. Whether they fulfill it or not is really up to them. And what I said is that you might have people who God has gifted with like a really good voice, or they have the ability to do certain things exceptionally well. So the person who has a good voice and can really sing, that's a physical, natural ability that God has given them. So it doesn't depend on whether they're Christians or not. And they can use that gift in any way they they can use that and that those gifts, natural giftings, based on how they want to do it. So we said, there's a spiritual purpose and there's the everyday purpose. We also looked at the fact that, well, we asked the question, why should we care about God's purpose for us? And we looked at a verse in the Bible there that, well, what I said was that one big reason why we should care about God's purpose for us is because it's eternal. When God looks at us, he just doesn't look at us in the context of this life. He looks at us in the context of forever and ever. So we looked at that as well. And the other thing we mentioned was that God gives us gifts to fulfill our purpose. He helps us. He gives us the necessary things we need in order to fulfill the purpose that God has for us. So that was last week. Now, this week, we're looking at the simplicity the simplicity of living in God's purpose for our lives. The simplicity of living in God's purpose for our lives. Now, I've used that word simplicity for a reason. And the reason I've used that word simplicity is, I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes when I hear fulfilling your purpose or what's your purpose in life, so on and so forth, it sounds like something that's really out there. It's like something that's really, grand, something that's really, oh my goodness, before I can, do this, I have to be in this particular form. So the reason I'm using simplicity, the simplicity of living in God's purpose, is because purpose is not complicated from God's perspective, I believe. So purpose is not like a big thing. It's not, when I mean it, it's not a big thing. It's not something that is grandiose all the time. It's not you and I doing something that is out there, something that's outstanding. No. Today, we just want to look at the simplicity of God's purpose. And what does that mean? That means God's purpose for us has to do with our everyday life. It's not just necessarily a big event, but it's the simple things in life getting up, going to work, going to school, all these really simple everyday things. That's where God's purpose builds up from. So it's not necessarily us doing something grand or something extraordinary. That's why I'm using that word simplicity of living the simplicity of living in God's purpose for our lives. So the first thing I want to mention tonight, I'm going to mention five things. The first thing I want to mention is that God is always working in the background to help us walk in his purposes for our lives. So oftentimes we're not really conscious that God is actually with us. He says he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. And obviously because God is invincible, we often lose sight of that. So the first point I want to make is that in this life, God is always in the background working. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 37 to 50, I'm not going to read it. That's like three chapters of the Bible, but we can refer to it later. Now, this is the story of a young man called Joseph. We probably have heard of him. If you go to the West End in London, there's loads of theater films about the Joseph and Many Coats. So, story that we know. And in the life of Joseph, God showed him what his life was going to be like in the form of a dream. And this guy was a young guy, like historians say he was about 17. And he was really excited about God's big purpose for his life. But if you read Genesis chapter 37 and you read it down to 50, you begin to see that in the context of everyday living, the life of Joseph, after God showed him that dream about what his future was going to be like, it went from bad to worse, so to speak. First of all, he was sold off as a slave. He was sold off as a slave. As if that wasn't bad enough, he was lied against. Someone lied against him that he wanted to assault her. He was thrown in prison. So looking at that just on the basis of appearance, it seemed like, come on, if God was really with this guy, why did all these things happen to him? Surely he must have done something to have deserved all this bad things that were going on in his life. But the truth of the matter is this, Joseph didn't do anything. But one thing he realized was the fact that God was with him. He didn't for one second, I can't say for one second, he didn't think that God wasn't with him through that time, because we'll see it in the life of Joseph that he always referenced God in the things that he was doing, even though life wasn't really going the way, he probably would have expected it to go. So we see something here that whether we're going through tough times in life, whether we're going through really good times, whether we're going through times that we can't even explain. One thing is this, God is always in the background. He doesn't leave us. And he's in the background to ensure that irrespective of what we're going through or irrespective of what we encounter, he can work it out for us so that we still go along in his purpose. Do you know that there are times that you might be actually going along in God's purpose and the situation you're going through is really uncomfortable? So what I'm just saying is this, God is always there in the background, working things out for us. Now, the second thing I want to mention tonight around purpose is this. Remember, we're looking at the simplicity of God's purpose. The second thing is here, that I want to mention tonight is, God is interested in you and I fulfilling purpose, his purposes. Now, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it's one of my really favorite verses. And I'll just read it. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So we see here that God, I'll take it one step further, that God is actually more interested in you fulfilling his purpose than you are. And God says these words to us. He says, look, not only do I have a plan for you. He didn't stop there. He could have just like put a full stop there. He now goes on to expatiate that just in case it crosses your mind that what's God all about? You know, God, do you really care about me? Or are you trying to, you know, teach me? It says, no. It says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. It says plans to give you hope and a future. So God just doesn't stop with like, okay, I've got a plan for you. And then, you know, there you go. No, he qualifies it. So God wants to give us hope. And he wants to give us a future that is hopeful as well. So we begin to see here that God is interested in you and I fulfilling purpose. So the second thing is God is interested in having you and I fulfill his purpose. He's interested in you and I fulfilling his purpose. And where do we see that? I mentioned Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So the second point I just mentioned tonight was the fact that, look, not only does God have a good plan for us, or should I say, not only does God have a plan for us, for us to work in his purpose, he also goes on and he clarifies what that plan really is. He qualifies the plan and says, look, I've got plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And he says, plans to give you hope and a future. So the second point I'm making here tonight is that, look, God is interested in you and I fulfilling purpose, even probably more than we are. And he goes on to qualify it to say, look, the purpose I have for you, the plans that I have for you, they're not just, you know, random plans. He qualifies it and he says, look, it's to give you hope, to give me hope, to give us a sure future. So that's the second point that I have to from tonight. Now, the third point I want to make tonight is this. God's purpose is not all in the context of what we do as it regards to church activities. So that's the third point I want to make tonight. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because oftentimes when we say, we talk about God and we talk about purpose, oftentimes in the past, what would come to my mind is, okay, this has to be the things that I'm doing in the context of the local church. Am I singing in the choir? Am I, an usher? Am I doing something with the sound deck? And we often associate God's big picture purpose with just what we do in church, or should I say, in the context of our church meetings. And one might feel that, look, if I'm not doing this in the context of the local church, then there's no way I can fulfill God's purpose. I'm just out there. So I might as well just not bother about God's purpose at all, because as it is, I can't make it to church on Sundays often. Do you understand? But what I'm saying tonight is that God's purpose is not just within the context of what we do in our church meetings, and that's really important. Now, God's purpose has to do with our daily lives. It has to do with the little things that we do, our relationships, our job, school, just the little things of life. Or let me not say the little things of life, the everyday things of life, not just necessarily what we do in the context of the local church. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 13, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 13, it says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 13 is saying something here. It's saying that God, when you go out to work, when you eat, when you drink, whatever it is that you drink, when you enjoy what you're doing, it says it is a gift from God. Now, I found that a bit odd because, like, hang on, what does God have to do with, you know, why is it saying that our ability to enjoy what we eat, what we do is a gift from God? Well, this tells us that, look, God is so interested in us that when it even comes to the things we eat, the things that, the work that we do, he gives us pleasure in doing those things. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is that you begin to see that God is really interested in the minute details of our lives. The Bible says that he knows how many hair, well, he has numbered our hair. That level of detail. So someone, you know, cracked a joke one time that when you go to the barber or to the salon and you have your hair cut, God knows how many strings of hair you have left each time you pay a visit to the salon. So he's interested in the minute details of our lives. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying all this because it's not just the things that we do in the context of the local church that, in quote, falls into the category of God's purposes for our lives. It's the normal everyday things that we do as well. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that the things we do in church are not part of God's purpose. They are. I think the majority of it. But what I'm saying tonight is that that's not just all of it. That's some of it. Now, so that's a third point. So tonight I've said, look, for today we've looked at the fact that God is working in the background. He's interested in having us fulfill his purpose. And what we've just looked at is the fact that purpose is not necessarily, it's not just all in the context of what we do in church. Now, the fourth thing I want to look at is this. Like I said, I'm looking at five things tonight, not three. So the fourth thing I'm looking at tonight is that, what are some of the things that can lead us away from God's purpose? What are some of the things that can lead us away from God's purpose? Remember, I've said God's purpose has to do not just with the things that one does in the context of the church, but in terms of our daily life. So what are some of the things that can draw us away from living in God's purpose in our everyday lives? Well, a number of things, but I'm just going to look at three things tonight. Three things that often, you know, draw us away from God's purpose. Now, the first thing I want to look at tonight is what I've called popular culture. This is a bit tongue twisting for me. Popular culture's worldview. So when I say popular culture's worldview, the popular culture worldview is what holds. So if, for example, you look out your window, you look at the news, it's what really holds in the context of society. It's how society, the society that we live in, how they view the world. What's the society's view on marriage? What's the society's view on relationships? What's the popular culture view? Popular culture's view on work, on children, on integrity, on care. So that's what I mean by popular culture's worldview. Now, why am I saying this? If you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." Now, what am I saying here in terms of popular culture's worldview? I'm just going to shorten it so I don't keep twisting my tongue. I'll just say the prevailing worldview in the society. Now, why is this important and how can that draw us away from God's will, God's purpose in our life? Now, we can be carried away by the current worldview to the point that it begins to affect how we view the things that God views. What I mean, people are a bit, you know, headstrong now. I'm a guy. Why should I settle for one girl? Why should I even be interested in marrying one girl? The worldview is that you pick this girl up, stay with her for 6 months. If she, you know, doesn't meet up your standards, or when you get tired, just, you know, dump her, move to the next girl, and vice versa. Maybe there's a girl as well. This guy, I don't like him. He's this and that. Dump him, go to the next guy. Now, that's the world view. Now, God's view is that we do not do that, but that we value people, that we care for people, you know, that we don't just view people as, you know, commodities or people to be used up. So God's view, a lot of the times, doesn't tally with the world view. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because there is the tendency that in fulfilling God's purpose, we might be swayed by the world view. The world view might say, hang on, why do you have to be kind to this person? Teach them a lesson. Why do you have to forgive this person? Why do you even bother, you know, doing all these things that you're doing? Why do you bother going to church? I mean, this Christianity thing, isn't it a bit medieval? Isn't something that belongs in the 14th century? Come on. You know, this is, life has moved on. That's the worldview speaking to you. So why am I saying all these things? I'm saying all these things because the worldview sometimes looks at the things that God values and makes them look really boring, makes them look really mundane, makes them really look old-fashioned. Do you understand what I mean? So holding to the worldview sways us a bit. It begins to try to make us value things that we shouldn't value. And it makes us disvalue things, or not to place value on things that are really important. That's what the worldview does in terms of moving us away from God's purpose for our life. Now, another thing that kind of like moves us away from God's purpose, or that's in conflict with God's purpose, is our strong opinions. We're looking at three things under the things that often try to sway us from God's purpose. Our strong opinions. Now, what do I mean by our strong opinions? Now, do you know that we might have such strong opinions that it almost goes contrary to what God wants for us? Now, it's not necessarily that these opinions are evil or that they're bad, but they're just not the way God sees things. For example, one might have a strong opinion. Maybe one sits down and says, look, this person that has done this to me, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm just going to, you know, blank them out. They've done enough harm in my life, or they haven't been nice to me, or they've done this, and I'm not going to forgive them. I'm just going to let them just go their way. Now, that's a strong opinion. It's not necessarily a bad opinion, but our strong opinions sometimes might not be in line with what God wants for us. Now, so I've looked at the case of forgiveness. Now, in this context, if I look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and my sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? If you proceed to verse 22, I'm just going to paraphrase. Jesus said, no, seven times. I mean, it's going to be really, really, well, in a day. 70 times, seven times in a day. It's going to be pretty interesting if someone can offend you 490 times a day. So why am I saying here? I'm saying that our strong opinions might bring us to the place where we say, look, irrespective of, I know the Bible says I should forgive, but in this instance, forget it. I'm not going to forgive. Let them just go their way because they've done me harm, or they've done this, this and that. That's a strong opinion. And that strong opinion, or those strong opinions, might not allow us to walk in the fullness of God's purpose for us. Another strong opinion might be in terms of given in the context of the church. And if you, you know, There are people who say, look, I've seen there are some of these preachers on television, they're saying they kind of like swindle you, tell you to give your money, and they're just all these funny preachers are all after our money. So one now forms an opinion based on maybe something that someone has said somewhere, or maybe something that they've even seen. Maybe they've even been swindled of their funds before in the past. And they come to an opinion that says, because of this, I'm never going to contribute anything financially to the church ever again. I can do any other thing, but when it comes to that, my mind is made up. Then what happens? That person goes to a local church that there are no swindlers there, you know, they know what they use the money for, but the person just doesn't give at all. Why? Because they have an opinion that, look, I can do any other thing, but when it comes to this giving business, you know, giving towards the church and all that, I'm not going to do that. Now, it's not because it's, you know, they're being bad or they're being, no, it's just a strong opinion that they have. Or another strong opinion can be, you know, one is married and one's husband offends, you know, the husband offends the wife, and the wife says, I've had it with this guy. I just, you know, forget it. And the guy is really sorry. He's like, darling, I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. And she says, no, you're always doing this to me. You, when I say take out the trash, you don't take it out. You leave your socks flying all over the place. You don't do this. And she goes on. And yeah, rightly so. But the Bible says we should forgive. Do you understand? So strong opinions can move us away from walking in God's purpose for us in the little everyday things of life. Now, the third thing I believe sways us a bit in the context of things that may, you know, try to lead us away from God's purpose for our lives. The third one is our desires. So I said the first is popular culture's worldview. The second, our strong opinions. The third thing is our desires. Now, you'll notice that all these things that I'm saying, they're not evil things. It's not like someone goes to kill someone and yeah, they're out of God's purpose. No, I'm just talking about the little everyday things in life that we encounter, things that just are around, you know, lurking in our lives somewhere, things that affect you, things that affect me as well. So the third thing is our desires. Our desires can actually sway us from God's purpose. Now, I'm using this word, God's purpose. When I'm in this context, when I say God's purpose, I'm talking about walking in God's life for us, not necessarily doing something, just our everyday life. So the third thing here that sways us from God's purpose is our desires. Now, what do I mean by that? There was a chap in the Bible. I'm saying the chap. That's very British. A guy in the Bible, Samson. This guy, God had a big plan for him. God was going to use him to help his people, save them from oppression, so on and so forth. And this chap had a desire. His desire in this case was, look, he came across a woman, and this woman was not good for him. I mean, can you imagine you come across someone and they say, what's the source of your power so I can kill you? And they're not joking. And they try it several times. Now, if you read Judges chapter 16, it gives you the story of Samson and how this lady called Delilah just really brought an end to his career, I would say. And this guy's desire was that he wanted love. But unfortunately, his desire for love took him to the wrong person. So I'm not saying that the desires we have are evil. We might have good desires, but those desires might just lead us, if we're not careful, out of God's purpose for our lives and cause us great harm. Do you understand? There are some people that their desire, which might not be bad, is, look, I want to be successful in my career. I want to be successful in everything that I, you know, and they're really fired up. They're called type A personalities, really going for it, going for their career and all that. Now, that's not a bad desire, but it begins to constitute itself into a challenge when, for example, that desire for work or to achieve takes one to the point where one neglects their friends, neglects their family, they don't see them, neglects everything around them, and their whole life is just work, 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 and that's all they think about. Now, am I saying work is bad? No, it's not. We should. But any desire that is so strong that it moves us in an opposite direction with regards to God's purpose for our life, that becomes a challenge. You know, it becomes a really big challenge. There's another portion of scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica." Now, this Demas chap, if you read the Bible, Paul made a reference to him in an earlier portion of scripture, and he said, "Oh, Demas is here with us." Demas was someone who was working, you know, in partnership with Paul, doing stuff for the church, so on and so forth. But there was something about Demas, or is it Demas? Depends if you're American or British on how you pronounce it. There was a desire that this guy had. And his desire was that, look, all this church business, I think it's really cutting out my fun here. I need to go out to town, man. I need to have a really good time. I need to experience the world. That was what happened to him. That was what happened to him. So his desire for the things of this world took him away. Now, I'm just going to carry on to the last point. Now, the last point I want to talk about here tonight is, so how do we stay in God's purpose? How do we, you know, walk on a day-by-day basis where we're sure that, look, we're not being drawn away from God's purpose. We're not being drawn away from the things that God has planned for our lives as it relates to our everyday life. I'm not talking about the grandiose things. I'm not talking about massive things. I'm talking about just the normal everyday life. How do we do it? How do we stay in God's purpose? Well, you'll be glad to know that I don't have a lot of points here. Just two simple things. And I believe those two simple things cover everything. And if we can take these things to heart, it will really make a difference in our lives. Now, the two things I believe will really help us to stay in God's purpose are these. One, that we love God. The second thing, that we honor God. And that's it. That we love God and that we honor God. Now, what do I mean when I say that we honor God? And what do I mean when I say we love God? I'm just going to use it in simple terms. You know, there's one thing that, I mean, I was born again in 1996. I think that's about 25 years. Now, before I became born again, right, the thing I knew in my life was how to party. I would party from Friday after work till Sunday midnight. That was my routine. And I had friends who would support that. So my life wasn't actually going in the direction that, you know, but when I became born again in 1996, something happened to me. The love that I had for God did so many things for me. And because I loved God right from that point, and I still love God so much now, that love really constrained me. So what that meant was, if there was anything I wanted to do that wasn't right. I wasn't scared that God was going to punish me. I wasn't scared that my pastor was going to tell me off. That didn't even cross my mind. I wasn't, you know, what was on my mind was, God, I love you so much. I don't even want to do this at all. Whether anybody was present or not, that was just it for me. You know, there are people who say, they're men, guys that do all these things in the dark. They go on the internet and, you know, watch or do, you know, do things that they shouldn't do because they're alone and they sneak off and all these things. Now, you know, one thing I want to say tonight, it is not the threats from God that as someone who is a believer, it is not the threat of punishment that will get the job done in your life. Because, I mean, I can rail off scripture upon scripture about what can happen if you don't do this, if you commit adultery, there's so many consequences. If you do this, this will happen. I can rail off on all that. But if we're living our lives based on, as believers, based on the threat of punishment from God or threat of consequence alone, man, what a miserable Christian life that will be. I'm telling you, that's why people will say, oh, so many rules in this Christian thing, don't do this, don't do that. Yeah, if someone is living their life based on rules, it's going to be a really terrible life. I mean, can you imagine if you have a friend and what governs your relationship is if you don't call your friend at 10 o'clock, you're going to get told off. In fact, you get fined. If you're late, you get fined. If you don't say the right thing, you get fined. I mean, what kind of relationship is that? You'd be tired, man. Like, you're like, oh my goodness, this is so bad. So, but God says that when we love him with our hearts, something happens to us. We will obey his commandments. So if you look at John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, when I say commandments, I'm not talking about rules. Let's get that straight. I'm not talking about rules. When God says, keep my commandments, he's talking about everything that has to do with your life. So what that could mean is, look, if someone offends me, and maybe in the past I would, you know, if someone said something rude to me, maybe before I was born again, my response would be to give them a slap or really tell them, give them a piece of my mind. That's what I've been my default response previously. But now, because I love God, I'm born again, I love God. Even if that crosses my mind, it'll be like, God, I'm not going to do that because I don't think you really like that. If as a guy, you know, I'm alone at night with the internet and there's nobody there, and you know, there's all these things about, oh, why don't you go to this website and look at this funny pictures, even if that thought crosses someone's mind, it's like God is there with you. It's like, God, I mean, come on, God, you won't even appreciate that kind of thing. So I'm not even going to go in that direction at all. So what I'm saying is that when we love God, that love constrains us. We're not motivated by fear. We're not motivated by punishment. But we do the right things. We love people. We help people. We can give all we have to make sure other people succeed. We are kind to people. We're loving towards people, not because we're compelled, but because we love God. Simple. Because we love God. That love really does something to us. And as we love God, and when I say love God, I'm talking about really loving God as a person. You know, if you really love someone, you won't really want to offend them. You won't want to do things that will make them unhappy. That's what I'm talking about. Loving God helps us to stay in God's purpose. And the other one is honoring God. Now, what do I mean by honoring God? It works hand in hand with love. Honoring God is respecting God, not taking God for granted. Now, all these things I'm saying, if we want to really contextualize them, let's look at even our relationships. Let's look at God as a person. Now, how would you feel as a person? Let's leave God out of this for a second, and let's talk about our normal relationships. Who amongst us would want to hang around someone who has absolutely no respect for you, someone who cares nothing about you, someone who disrespects you, someone who just doesn't like you at all, someone who just speaks to you anyhow in public, they say all sorts of things about you? How would you feel about that? Do you understand what I mean? So we want honor as well. We want people to respect us. We want people to really give us regard. We want people to, you know, be concerned about our feelings, about our opinions and all that. Do you understand? So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because in the same fashion, God wants us to honor him. God wants us to respect him. Not because we're afraid or not because we're, you know, it's just because he's God. He's the one that has given us this salvation that we're talking about. He's the one that has, you know, paid the price by sending Christ so that we will not suffer eternity in hell. He's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that's in the background looking after us. He's the one that has, you know, made the gospel available to us so that we can live with him eternally. This is the God that we're talking about. So God wants us to honor him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to walk in his purpose, not out of fear, not out of pressure, but just out of love and out of honor. So I'm going to stop there tonight. And if I just recap on what we've looked at tonight. So I've said tonight we looked at the simplicity of living in God's purpose for our lives. I've said in looking at this, we've said God is in the background working to help us in our walk with him all the time. We also said the second point we looked at was that God is interested in us fulfilling his purpose even more than we are. Now, the third point I made was that God's purpose is not always in the context of what we do in church, but it has to do with our everyday life. The fourth point was we looked at three things that often could pull us away from God's purpose. We said the popular culture's view. We've said our strong opinions. We've also said our desires can do that as well. And the last thing that we looked at was the fact that we keep God's purpose just by abiding by two very simple things, the same way, but slightly more in terms of our relationships. And God wants us, we stay in God's purpose as we love him genuinely, not because of threat or anything, as we love him and as we honor him. And as we do that, God will just continue to guide us in his purpose and ensure that on an everyday, day by day basis, we're working in his purpose without even giving it too much thought. And we're going to pray tonight.